will figure it out, Jake. And I believe maybe we did just figure it out.
I don't know. Can you hear us on Twitch, Jake?
Heck yeah. As if there was any doubt, Dev.
I mean,
when I run the show,
I know.
Shit works, except for the chat feature that apparently is not working. So you all can see the chat in Twitch, but you can't see it on my sexy little screen here. But we'll see. Anyway, welcome to the Trimark Happy Hour, folks.
Sit down, music.
Yeah, I can. Okay, I'll turn that down. Down. Welcome.
I love hearing jam.
Nope. I mean, nope.
Still, just stop it.
I turned it off. Just shut up. You're fine. Can I say it now, or do you want to do the intro, Dev?
Sure, I could do the intro.
All right, go ahead.
So we got Bill this way over here. We got Jake here, and we got Chess here. No Brandon over here down below.
Thank you for that wonderful
that intro.
Chest hair, no Brandon. Just so we're clear. Okay.
It was almost correct.
No chest hair, Brandon. That's what I meant to say.
Thank you all so much for joining today. Trimark Twitch Happy Hour, folks. Danny is out, not feeling well. So last minute, Brandon gets to run the show. And surprise, it's not going to be fantastic. But you know what? Either is it when Danny runs the show. So we're going to do it anyway. We are live with our best buddy back for his second visit to the Trimark Happy Hour, Billo, and we're here to talk about what, Dev? Windows Recall, correct? As you were just told, because we had to be reminded about what you picked to discuss.
Hey, we didn't have to be reminded. Dev had to be reminded.
That's what I meant. It was like a Wii thing, like a
the royal Wii.
Yeah.
I like to see the replay on this, because I don't think that's accurate.
I wasn't
streaming. Oh, okay.
I don't know how to go back in time. Sorry.
Streamer, it didn't happen. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I'm saying none. You guys are making it up. That's making me look bad, and I don't appreciate it.
You sure are professional something. All right. Why don't we start by explaining like what is Windows Recall? Because I have an idea, but I don't think I really know because I did zero homework on this bad boy.
What? So we know what it is. Why don't you explain for the listeners what it is? Obviously, we are experts.
We're still using the right Wii. You can use Wii however you want now.
That's right.
Except if you use it back to back, then it's kind of weird. So Windows Recall is basically spyware that Microsoft put into everyone's computer.
Just go for it.
What it does is basically monitors your screen, and it does some data capture, metadata capture on different things you're doing, from browsers to stuff you're typing in the browsers. It's supposed to be limited to browsers, I think, certain code bases or IDEs, and that's about it. But we don't really know exactly what the metadata capture looks like or what the extent of it is. And it's also to be locally stored. That means that nothing gets beamed up. And the reason behind it is so that it allows you to, it allows ad tech to run a little bit better. It allows suggestions. It allows you to also query and optimize things on your computer that you're doing. Like, let's say you're searching up how to perform a certain task or perform certain things. Then the search engine optimizer should then start kicking in, or suggestions to start kicking in to then tell you, like, hey, this is where probably a good thing for you to have. At least that's my understanding of it. I actually never turn it on because it is, in my opinion, spyware. And I don't actually own Windows machines in my house that is not a company machine. So there's that also aspect. Now, the issue I have with it is like, okay, you want to have that feature? That's great. I'm sure there's a ton of people who would love to have something like this, just so that they can utilize it and make their life a little bit easier. But the problem is that it was not released off. It was released on, and then it got a backlash from a bunch of people. And then finally, they decide to do an update where it's defaulted as off. That's where my biggest gripe is with this tool. So you
spoke to the people that would actually like to have it on, and like about a year ago, I was actually trying to write scripting for my Mac to like take a screenshot every minute and like a little snippet of audio every minute because like I forget stuff, right? And I thought, oh, that'd be neat. I keep it for a, you know, keep it for a day or whatever. It'd be really cool.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and automatically delete. But it's me doing it, right? It's me setting it up. And like, then I know where all the data goes. And yeah, when I heard about this, I was like, what?
Yeah, that's also the other feature. It does take a snapshot and all that stuff. And there's a way to type in like a search bar and see and look up stuff within the snapshots. Again, that means it's using some type of OCR or stuff like that. And it's supposed to limit it to sites that are not considered private sites. So like banking and stuff like that is not supposed to automatically show up in this tool, from what they said. Again, the problem is no one knows too much about it. There's a lot of deep dives going into it because they say what they say is that they don't upload the actual data to the system, to their cloud system. But no one talks about metadata, which is basically when they take data, they anonymize it, and then they push it up there. Or they might alter it so there's no sensitive information within it. So let's say you're searching on, you know, hey, I want to learn more about how to cook X, Y, and Z. They may say, oh, people are looking up the following food item, how to cook. Or they may upload, hey, Dev is looking up more recipes on cooking, you know, stuff like that, where they considered it but they basically remove sensitive aspects of it. I got a speech impairment, fuck you. They basically remove that sensitive aspect of it and then upload it, so that way it is now not having the whole aspect of what it is you're trying to do, and they're not supposed to upload any screenshots, but somehow your computer is processing all this GPU extra data with very minimal impact on your local system. I'm sorry, have you ever run an OCR that runs every 30 seconds to a minute on your computer or whatever it is, the frequency? It does have impact. So there's a little bit of interesting stuff going on with that.
But Dev, that's why the minimum system requirements say that you have to have an NPU with at least 40 tops, right?
Yeah. But even then, with 40 tops, that's not much. I mean, you could get an NVIDIA Shield or...
Hold up here. I mean, all the listeners know, but what... Are we talking about tops baseball cards? What are you talking about?
I'm going to freaking punch you. No, we're talking about Tensor Operation Process. I think that's what it stands for. I forgot what it's the actual thing. But it's basically the core cycles that you're allowed to utilize within a second. How much of it you can use and how much processing it takes up within your GPU. So I don't remember the top of my head, but like NVIDIA Shield has that much in it. And it can utilize, I think, like 100 or something like that, or a couple, like a little bit more than 100. So that's not much they're asking for. But that's still a lot of processing for that amount of, like, that's a lot of processing you're doing. I don't care what computer system you have. For it to go and do OCR on massive level, and then on top of it, do some type of machine learning vector ops things. Yeah. And on top of it, take that data, correlate into like a vector database to then do lookups and stuff like that, takes a ton of time and effort, storage, and CPU or Tensor processing. So that's where it's, I'm questioning the validity of this, of their claims, and to what is actually being uploaded. So I am working with some researchers to kind of like look at the metadata that we're utilizing. Obviously, they're doing the collection and then send it over, so I can start doing some analytics, but to see what type of metadata is actually sending it to the cloud. Because we noticed that it don't fully function when you disconnect your computer from the internet. There's aspects of it that does not work. So... do they have something turned off? Because I do know you need Copilot Plus, but I thought Copilot Plus was also locally run on your system. Unless I'm wrong. I never use Copilot Plus, so I'm not familiar with how that works. Has any of you guys use it?
No, actually. And it's when I first heard the Windows recall sort of debacle, I was like, oh, I better go and see if I got the update. And turns out I don't, because I don't have any systems that I personally own that can run Windows 11. So it's sort of a of a double-edged sword for me because I can't use it if I wanted to, and I also can't research on it. But no, Dev, I did want to ask you one question though, and I don't know if we know the answer to this yet. The metadata, you were talking about the OCR, which is kind of a key component here. It would Microsoft classify the results of the OCR scanning as metadata? Because I would consider that sensitive information as well.
So metadata is anything that you can take that is basically a step down from personal data. So it's when you break apart data and then you generalize it so that way it cannot be attributed back to a specific task, right? So like the example I gave before, let's say you're doing research on a certain political figure. You can then generalize it to say Dev is doing political research. So now no one knows exactly who the person is, what type of research I'm doing, anything like that. And that itself becomes metadata. It all depends on how Microsoft defines metadata themselves into what categories they want to capture and how they're pivoting on different categories. And again, they don't really say that they're uploading metadata. They just don't mention anything about metadata and what and how the metadata is being used. They just say they're not uploading any of the screenshots, audio recordings. I don't think it does audio recordings, but screenshots and any of the OCR textual transcripts that they are capturing. That stuff is not being uploaded.
Call that out explicitly. That's good. Because I think knowing Microsoft, you put five people in a room and they could come up with, we can define it as this because of this criteria. So that was part of my concern.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's one of those things where with Facebook, let's look at them, for example. They, when they first started off, or within a couple of years of becoming well established and getting some serious fundings and making actual profits, they also make certain claims that they're not using your data in certain ways and this and this and that. And now we find out, no, they're freaking mining the hell out of you and all your data and all your information. And it's all about the legal, it's all about the way they word things legally that makes it this way. So now you have to scrutinize everything that's out there. And I wish Microsoft would come out with a document with a clear cut, easy to read, easy to understand what exactly is being captured, what exactly is being uploaded, if anything is being uploaded, or even clearly say nothing is being uploaded to the cloud. And not only do they have to clearly say it's not being uploaded to the cloud, what tools are being utilized and how those tools using the data and what part is cloud-based and what part is on-prem-based. None of that stuff is truly clear from my understanding. Because even then with Copilot Plus, I thought there was cloud aspects to it. There was some cloud drivers or initializers that needed to happen so that way it could do offload processing for it to better your system. That's my understanding. So if Copilot is the hooks of how this thing works, that means there's going to be obviously data leakage between the two applications, and then it's going to have to go up to the cloud to some degree. But again, I have not used Copilot Plus because I don't have a Windows machine. So, and no, I do not want a Windows machine for anyone who's like, hey, I got this spare one. No, thank you.
Just run RDM.
Come to your Ubuntu machine soon. Don't worry.
I don't use Ubuntu either anymore.
What do you use for your telephone?
My telephone's a custom ROM. I use Graphene OS.
You're a jerk.
Those who want to know. Graphene. Yeah. Awesome.
What? What's wrong with Graphene OS? You don't like Graphene OS?
No, I'm just saying that. Yeah.
Google Fi.
Arch. I use Arch, by the way. Thanks, Lemon, on a pair.
Arch Linux is amazing. Arch, don't crap on Arch.
I also just think I got. Did I just get the joke about Lemon on a pair? Is that a Bon Jovi joke? Because if it is, that's awesome. Anybody else get that?
What are you talking about? I can't. Is that in like in text?
Yeah.
We're halfway there.
We're halfway there. Oh, Lemon on a pair. sorry, that's what I'm good for, is just derailing us. I mean, when you're in the bottom left, that's basically what you get to do, right?
Yeah, that's right. But yeah. That's Danny's whole job, is that.
So I don't want to derail us too much, but there's another, and you can tell me if this is. So Google's come out with their Gemini product, which is now released on their new phone. And then I believe the new iPhone also has their AI built into it. Is there a
not
difference?
Yet. Not yet released, yeah.
Like, okay.
It's not available yet.
Is it called Siri Plus or Maybe it's Susan.
Apple Intelligence.
Yeah.
Susan. So called it Apple Susan. In my understanding, the iPhone ecosystem is that Siri actually never touches your data. That was one of the things they said in it, that it don't actually have access. And this is what they're doing, is releasing a bridge so it can access a lot more data. Or at least it has limited access to data. Something
they're
like
they're going to let her out of the box?
Oh,
that's
man.
My understanding is that. But Gemini is definitely a software you want to be wary of. It goes through all your emails. It goes through all your photos. And the reason this is concerning is because iPhone, was it 2 years ago, I think it was, or three, when they released the whole thing of, I work, off hours of not working Trimark, I work for an organization to help stop human trafficking and help stop people going after kids. So that is the bandwagon I'm on to fight back and combat this. Yet I am still against iPhone releasing software that goes through your photos to look for child pornography. And the reason is that is invasive. And like anyone who has a kid that was just born, you're going to get some shots where there's some stuff that people might deem unworthy or not suitable. And it just happens. Now, you're not sharing that out. It's just like, oh, taking a bath time, first time, 6 months old. I'm sorry. Like, that's normal. At least for people I know, that's normal for you.
First bath at 6 months old?
I'm saying first, put into the, I don't know.
Don't judge, okay? It might be normal for Deb. Bath every 6 months.
Dunking them in like a tub or something. I don't know. Like, don't you have to like use towels and that? I don't know. SpongeBob?
We're gonna get.
I got four kids. I don't know this stuff yet.
We just wait till you're a grandpa. We're gonna talk more about the privacy aspect of stuff like that. I want to touch on that next week because next week, okay. Spoiler alert, we're talking about personal privacy and identity theft and identity protection and stuff like that. So. Let's stick with what Beto did his research on, Windows Recall.
Oh, yeah. 10 minutes to fill an hour, guys.
Perfect.
No, I think what's her name? Horse said it best. I could see a situation where I would want this, right? I did documentation using PSR back in what, XP or 7 days. That was enough to get by. It was a built-in tool. I didn't have to go out and buy something. I would like something built off of that, especially turn it on, turn it off. I would like to be able to retrace my steps and sort of have a almost like a privileged session that you get a recording of. What I don't want is to not be able to turn that off. And I think one of the more frustrating aspects is Microsoft, in some of the docs that I've seen and some of the kind of conversations, is well, you can turn it off, and you can't turn it off, but you can tune it, right? You can say, don't watch this browser or this site or this activity. Nobody's doing that. Like, the people that are watching this, the people that we're talking to, they would know how to do that. My mom would not know how to do that. She wouldn't even know that this feature exists. And I think you said it pretty well, Dev, where you're turning it on by default, you're hurting people. It's an invasion of privacy, whether they realize it or not, because anything that we do, we just have to assume that that's going to get out. Any screenshot that exists on the machine, somebody's going to get it at some point. You just have to work under that assumption. So I think we're really setting people up for failure and also setting them up to be okay giving away a level of privacy.
Well, it doesn't help that, like, back when this first came out, you know, Gossy the dog was like, did a deep dive on where all the data is collected to. And it's just a SQLite database, like a single SQLite file somewhere that is not encrypted, like not in a protected location. Like, anybody that lands on your machine could just go grab that information. Like, it seems like this was a
half-baked solution.
Half-baked.
That idea.
I think you and I, Bill, we see the good idea behind it, right? Like, there's a possibility.
Implementation
was a bad idea.
And, yes, and I think, and just to, Dev, I'm sorry, just to get in on the encryption piece, You're right, and that was a very frustrating part of it, is looking at the docs and saying that all your data is encrypted. They were talking about disk encryption with BitLocker, not file level encryption. That's a totally different thing, and without knowing that, that's a whole different. I wouldn't want that data plain text on my machine, regardless. So if you're gonna say encryption, talk file level.
Yeah. Correct. And then on top of it, like you're saying, like, okay, let's say you are taking the data and you're storing it. What is the legal ramification if your computer gets seized by some authority, either local or foreign state? Like, what do that mean now? Can they go to Microsoft, go ahead and unlock your Windows account, or, you know, if you didn't set up your Windows machine properly, just access it? And is that data now legally allowed to be presented in court? Because, you know, now that's another data point that they could go back. I think it only keeps, 2 weeks or a couple of weeks worth of data in there. I don't think it's end of time kind of data. I think it is like a frame gap, from what I remember. But anyway, how is that going to be used? Now, the way when I talk about this, the way I would have loved for them to have implemented it is, one, you opt in. Two, you also option in per URL of stuff you want to track, or per application. And that way, it's by default, it's like, okay, you opt in, we can collect stuff, let us know what you want us to monitor and collect. And then you could go, okay, I want to go ahead and VS Code. I'm doing a bunch of development, turn it on for this right now. Or anytime VS Code opens up, automatically do it. And then when I close VS Code, or when I'm about to log, I say, hey, we captured a file amount of data. And then, you know, or like how your browser has the history and cookie, and you could delete the last hour, last week, all of time kind of data, give you all the capabilities. So that way you can fine tune what data gets kept, what gets removed, all those different things. So.
Say that out loud, Jake.
Oh, I just did quick research, and approximately 10% of your main storage is used for recall. On
three months. Holy shucks.
Right. So yeah, 256 gig drive, which is not super large nowadays, right? That's 25 gigs stored, which is about 3 months worth of snapshots and stuff. So that's wild.
And then what is the business aspect of this? Can companies just turn this on all their machines and then monitor every little thing you're doing on your machine? So how is the business intelligence going to work in this?
Gross.
I mean, like, think about it. Like, what if you send in a text message? I mean, not a text, instant message or DM someone or something like that. And you got something in there, you don't, like, you know, you're bad talking your boss or something. Not that I would do that, Jared. I swear.
Jared's the one that would turn it on, too. Like, it's.
I asked him about it. He's like, that's one thing I would never turn on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jared is very respectful of privacy. So, yeah, love it.
He's like, hell no. So, I mean, there's all those things. Like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. That's where it concerns me, is that I wish they would put more thought in it. I wish they would have done more research into understanding how people utilize the machine. And the scary part is, if they did do that, that means there is some aspect of mining that they can make revenue off of, if they still release it the way they did.
Absolutely. It's definitely, they're making money somehow, right? So,
yeah. If you're not paying for it, you are the product.
Yeah. So. I think more thought was put into how they can leverage the information gained from this than how do people use their PCs. It really seems that this is focused on less so on the user experience and more on putting a wrapper on opt-out, sort of a mandatory opt-out advertising, if you will.
But then if they want to do something like that, then why not just drop the process list and kind of generalize that, so you can understand PC utilization? I mean, that's a perfect way to understand what apps, how often, duration, stuff like that, is just by doing process list dumping.
So you're not going to get the OCR data.
Yeah, no OCR data. Okay, so
that's where. So what about the OCR data is important then?
Well, I was going to say, second thing is, you sell it to the customer as, hey, we're your external brain. And in the meantime, they're getting all that process data that is actually probably useful, and that gets shipped up. So it's
process data is so easy to capture. And so it's very, you don't even need a full core to capture it. And even, I think 128 kilobytes of RAM? Does the capture process this continuously every, what, 2 to 3 seconds? So it's very minimal. I think they went overboard and there's more to it, and there has to be some metadata. So that's what, hopefully we can do our research, and it's going to be a right, it might be a white paper. I don't know. It might be open to the pub. I don't know. I got to see what I sign the NDA on. But,
good to anyway, just go with all of the.
Vito, what, you have to, what else you got to say on this topic?
That's like, oh shit, I got to shut up.
No, it's all good. Look, again, I kind of read a few things while I was watching football last night. So I think you covered, you know, really a lot of the main points for me. Kind of one of the things that Copilot Plus kept coming back to me, right? And it's like, this feature is available for Copilot Plus. One of the more disappointing parts of the way that Microsoft is progressing with Recall, but with, you know, Windows 11 in general, is I can't keep up. Right, the consumers can't keep up, and I feel like the push towards this new functionality is driving me out of the Microsoft ecosystem. The development's fine, it's great, but I can't go to Windows 11, so now I'm already starting to move all my systems over to Linux or Temple OS or whatever isn't, you know, Windows. And it's frustrating, because I would like to play with this just as a curiosity, and also I personally would like it. So I don't know. It's a frustrating time to be a consumer, and it's a frustrating time to be an administrator of these things, because, you know, I'm having a lot of conversations with folks that are, you know, either on 11 now or moving to 11, and there's a lot of uncertainty from the business side of, can we support this? How do we do it? You know, my gosh, I don't even know if there's a conversation around GDPR with this yet, but I'm glad I don't have to think about that conversation. Like, it's just too much too fast.
I appreciate your subtle drop of Temple OS in there, by the way, too.
So what the Temple OS is what he was saying.
Oh, yes, sorry.
Oh, so, yeah, because you need a machine with 16 gigabytes of RAM. Damn.
What, like, so I think for me, it's interesting, because it's easy for us to sit here as security professionals and people who actually have a mindset of privacy and kind of what that next step is as far as data mining and metadata and stuff like that. What do you guys think, like, from a general consumer perspective? I'm curious what your thought is on what the perception is of this from general consumers, because I'm pretty sure Microsoft put it out with the intention of people are going to think this is awesome. Which I think on the surface it is, right? Like,
well, that's what I think part of the problem is. So ever since ChatGPT release, I'll say probably a little before that, but really ChatGPT, my understanding, was basically the anchor that really sold a lot of people on AI and all the benefits and all the fun stuff and cool stuff you can do with it. So I think they're kind of just riding that wagon and going off of that, and all the new AI stuff, like, what is it, every week you're hearing something about AI and some new AI and so on stuff that's coming out there, and how close it's getting to becoming true AI versus this fake AI, what you like to call it, which is just machine learning. And if you want to have a deep conversation, I'm willing to have that conversation with you. But anyway, you know, I think that they're just running that bandwagon and just jumping on it to utilize this stuff that they see is the benefit, is the profit, is the users. Like, users persona has been a big thing, right? Just understanding the way people utilize the machines, understanding their mindset, understanding their buying habits, all this other stuff. Facebook nailed it. They learned this stuff, they understand all this stuff, and they were able to create such big revenues off this metadata. And I think everyone have been trying to figure out how they could get their hands in the pot. And this is what Microsoft realized. And they're like, okay, well, we're releasing in a positive spin of, we're not mining you, we're giving you the benefit of a system for free, which is what I think Bill said earlier. Like, the advertising is that this is a plus for you, and this is something that can help you, which it is. And again, if you're okay, like, my wife would be okay with using this system, and honestly, I would be okay with her using this, because she, in my opinion, is not doing anything mission critical. When it comes to privacy or coming to any, I mean, obviously I was telling her to block financial sites and stuff like that. But other than that, there's nothing mission critical. The average user don't have mission critical stuff on the machine. And if they're okay with AI assisting their life, like helping them figure out what to buy next, helping them to understand things that they forgot last 2 weeks or 3 months ago, and kind of give them like that summary of where their mindset was at a certain point in time, that's great. And I think it is helpful and it is benefit. But again, my issue is not that stuff. It's we forced it on. We're opting everything in. We're not giving you the controls to delete your own data or let you know how your data is being used against you or being used outside of your own machine in the cloud and all this other stuff. That's my take on it, is that you can leverage this stuff if people want to, but give them the option and tell them exactly how it's going to be used. So people who are privacy concerned can have that safeguard and those controls they need to really better their life or better their...
It's all about informed consent, right? Like, in everything in life, like, informed consent really... you let me know what you're going to do with it. I can make the decision. Mm-hmm. Cool. Because, yeah, there may be some really good benefits that I see about that. So, yeah, it's just...
Like, even...
Just communicate like in advance. Like...
Yeah, like, Jake, we had a conversation, 6 months ago? We were talking about... using AI and VS Code and this and that, and how like GitHub has it and you can do all this stuff. And I don't use GitHub. Even though I have an account and I have all this stuff, I don't use their AI intelligence. Instead, I have a machine that has a GPU in it. I just spun up AI in it and connected to it using some of the LLMs designated for code development. And I prefer that because then I know where the data is. I'm okay with the AI assisting me, but I control the aspects of how much I want to control on it. Again, yeah.
But you as, you know, a tech professional, you can do that. There's no alternative for the average consumer. No one is going to, I mean, no reasonable person, present company not excluded, is going to do that. It's a lot of hoops to jump through. And I respect it, right? It's a great solution. It works, and you have the means to do it. Most people don't. You know, that wouldn't be something that I would go do. So, almost feel boxed in at a certain point. You feel like you have one alternative, which is, you know, give Microsoft the data and live with the consequences, or miss out on what a lot of people consider to be this tool that can revolutionize the way that they shop or buy or write recipes or, you know, restore, you know, books. I don't know what people do. What do people do with computers anymore?
Well, I could tell you what the number one thing is done online, but channel for it.
We all know that AI is being used to assist in that.
Well, let's be careful because some machines have been hijacked and hacked into. So there was a whole scandal with that happening.
All right, get away from
but,
that.
I mean. You're right. They're not. But again, I think people need to take a step back and understand where their security risk is. Right? What is your level of security? What is your level of privacy? And I think we're going to get into this next week. But like where that is, and then set like base a lot of stuff you do based off of that. If you're at a security level where your security just needs to be, make sure my bank accounts are secure. Make sure my important documents, whatever that could be, like. You know, investments, wills, whatever other important documents you can classify is secure, then you can lessen up the bar. You can allow things into like AI assistant stuff into your life. You can allow Amazon Echo, is it Echo? I don't even know what that, Alexa. Yeah, you can allow Alexa and all the other stuff to be integrated into your lifestyle. And that's fine. And that's okay. That's what I try to tell people is some people are going to go to the extreme, which is, you know, okay, because they need to be more private minded, and others can be let forgiven. Like my kids and my wife don't need it, all the extra security layers. So I create Wi-Fi, like special Wi-Fi SID for them where they could connect to it, which don't have all the safety rails on. don't have all the privacy concerns on, don't have all the blocking and, you know, reverse shell scan, not reverse shell, they don't have all the deep scannings and all that stuff enabled. So that way they can be more free and, you know, do what they need to do. Whereas when you connect to my Wi-Fi that I'm using, you're going to have a lot of blocks. Like I got, like, I was trying to, so I'm getting into 3D printing. I was going to a website that had models and stuff that you can look at and download and stuff. Half of it, I can't even access. Half of those sites. And this is 3D printer model sites. Just because of age, how long they've been around, the type of content they have, like all kinds of stuff. So again, you just need to really balance that out and see what makes sense. For the average user, I think Copilot will work as long as they put in the safety guards of allowing you to delete data in a way that don't involves you opening up a database or open up some config file or open up some stupid registry and making some modifications that way. I mean, like simply,
like how much data do you want to store? Any browsers you want to exclude? The end. Like, to me, that you set those defaults at, like, you know, serves 80% of the populace, right? And I don't think that's where it's at right now. It serves 80% of Microsoft's greed at this point, you know. And so set those defaults as something that makes sense for most people, and let the nerds go in and mess around and, you know, make it a little more collective or less collected. Like, yeah, it makes sense to me. Again, informed consent. Like, I don't even think good top does.
I think it even captures on when you go in incognito mode. It also, like, basically
right. Captures... Yeah, it doesn't. Oh no. That was one thing. If they're in incognito mode, it doesn't capture.
It does. It doesn't capture in incognito mode.
I think so.
You sure?
Think.
But yeah, we may want to. I hope so.
I hope not.
Brandon's asleep. So.
I don't want people to see what I'm getting for Christmas presents, so they better block incognito mode.
That's. Go ahead, Beto.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say that's. So that for me, like, I get. And this is getting into the privacy stuff quite a bit, but.
It's really hard to talk about this without getting into that.
I don't care. We'll change topics for next week if we have to. But no, it's more than just doing nefarious acts or doing private acts, such as we'll talk about, like, banking, right? It's I find it creepy that Google knows more about me than I know about me, right? I mean, people have talked for a long, long, long time about, like, oh, our phones are listening to us, right? But it's not really. It's that metadata. And it's that knowledge of the other people and what they look for, and where it's like, so it's just that creepy stuff where all of a sudden this product comes up and it says, oh, it's on sale. And it's like, how did it know that I was going to buy that? Well, it's because it knows it better than you know it, right? And that's what kind of creeps me out a little bit, is that just all the sum of all of that, what that actually means. And yes, none of it's mean or sensitive or anything like that. So that for me is kind of what sets me off on it.
Yeah. And when it comes to
the privacy, like, isn't necessarily hiding your bad stuff, right? It's like, maybe I have a growth that I don't want to talk about to my coworkers. Like, that's, yes,
please don't.
Oh, you're, please don't. I'm going to tell you about it in excruciating detail, but yeah, like, it's not necessarily bad stuff, but it's just stuff you want to control who you talk to it about.
See, I got a different mindset about that. I don't give a crap if you're doing bad stuff or good stuff or whatever the hell you're doing. You have a right to privacy.
Exactly. Yep.
I don't give a crap. I don't care if you're looking up how to make nuclear bombs. You have a right to privacy. That's the end of it. Clean cut. That you have the right to your own privacy, unless you have a government going through the process of getting a warrant and doing what they need to do to go through the legal process to then get to that data. Then that's a different story. But until they go through the whole, I mean, that's what we have a legal system for. That's why we have all these regulations and rules and laws for. Is that if the government needs to do what they need to do, they can go through the proper channels to do it. Now, I don't want to get into this whole, well, sometimes they abuse the law. That's a different topic. I'm saying if they need to get to data that is private, there's ways for them to get to it, and they need to go through those channels. Going through big tech and getting in bed with big tech is not the way to get the data. And I'm not saying Microsoft is doing that. But if you look at anything recently, Facebook has been coming out and talking about their involvement with federal government. So there is some level of big tech with federal government. I don't know to the extent, but that's what it is. And we got to be mindful of that.
And Dev, just to segue away from the hot potato there. Yeah, that's a valid point with the government. You know, the government aspect of privacy is important. And that applies to a personal device. Does that apply to a corporate issued device that I get? Does that apply to the machine that I get from my company? The expectation of privacy there is different, because on a work machine, you can reasonably say you have zero expectation of privacy. So mm-hmm. at that point, how does that change things? Obviously, I think a general best practice is don't do anything on a work system that you wouldn't want read back to you in a court of law. Same with personal. But, you know, how can that be used?
Or even more scary, HR. but, no.
Sorry, Adrian.
I mean,
sorry, Adrian. See,
again, you're right. Again, when it comes to company machines, yes, you got to be more mindful. You got to be more conscious of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And again, the company owns the machine. They own your access. They own everything about the machine, the hard drive, all the data, all the interconnections. There's arguments to say, well, they don't own my internet. They don't own this. They don't own that. So there should be some level of forgiveness when you're utilizing it, especially when you're working at home and you have to jump ship and do a couple of things and they support a work-to-life balance. But that's what I say for any company who is considering using data on your computer. Like any company out there, I mean, actually every company, this create a this the computer policy where you talk about what you do, what you track, what is expected, what is not allowed. Just take the 15 minutes, take an hour, and just write it down and send it out so people know. And if you change your mind saying, hey, we're going to be altering rule number 5 to this now, send a reminder and say, effective immediately, this is the new rule for number 5. And this is what it is now. Like, we can have conversations. We can have where people actually just be open and transparent about what they're doing, and it's okay. I don't know where we got in society where that is becoming kind of like, oh, keep everything secret, keep everything bundled up, and then we can use whatever we want to use against people whenever they want to. Like, that's not how I feel businesses should operate. At Trimark, I believe we do the exact opposite. Like, we have so much leeway, so much forgiveness, that the point where they only track what is considered mission critical to keeping the machine and the data on it safe. Everything outside of that, they could give two shits about. And that's not because they don't take this stuff serious. It's because they trust the people you hire. You invest a lot of time and money into people. You know, maybe you go through a probation period of 2 weeks to make sure they're not doing anything scandalous. But after that, you need to basically take off the safety guards and let them do their job and trust that they're going to do what's best for the company. At least that's how I always view it. And when I was a manager, that's how I always push down my management aspects of it, because I'm not here to babysit people. I'm here to get things done. And I don't have time for your toe fell off or you're looking at an inappropriate site or whatever the case is. So.
Did you say your toe fell off?
Yes, I had to deal with a situation like that as a manager once.
Okay, this is a derail. Tell me.
So I worked at, before I was in computers and stuff, I worked as a mechanic in a printing press system. You know, those big industrial, we print newspapers kind of machines that are like stories high. And someone decided to wear sandals to work or flip, whatever the hell they call those things. Open toe shoes, let's just say that, whatever it is. I don't know what the hell the proper terminology is. But they decided to wear that, and they dropped something in their foot. Or maybe they've been wearing that open toe shoes for months now, I don't know. But they dropped something in their foot, and if you know anything about printing companies, is that everything in there is ridiculously heavy. Everything. I don't care what you're talking about. A piece, like loading paper in a machine, is hundreds, like 500 to 600 pounds each. And they're not even big. They're small. Those are small rolls. They get even bigger than that. So when you drop something or do something stupid, there's consequences. And someone lost a toe because of that.
So folks will never lose a toe. That
sucks.
That does suck.
I mean, that, like, it is an anecdote, but holy cow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know where to go with that.
I thought it was going to be better. I honestly did. I thought the story was going to be better than that.
What would be better? I walked in, forgot my toy home. I got to go home and pick it up. Like, what do you mean?
That would actually be pretty interesting.
Can't come to work today. My toe fell off.
Emergency. Yeah.
What do you mean? What else would it be? My whole back. I was actually bedridden for a year.
A toe falling off. It's a toe getting smashed or cut off or removed.
It was cut off.
Just a toe, just like, boop, just.
I mean, it might have been off,
like a grape.
But it was a toe and some other stuff, but it was mostly the toe, and we had to shut down the whole press. There's like, when you have something that happened in printing press, that is basically you are shut down for hours. Yep. Like, you basically, your shift is over, because that machine ain't starting up anytime soon.
And then you got to have to go erase the days without an accident thing, and have to put it under zero on that, man.
Hey, guys, I have a joke for you. What's black and white and red all over?
The newspaper?
That one.
That printing press. Goodness sakes.
Ooh, you are a rad dad.
We got.
I don't know anything else about Windows recall.
Good. Don't we?
Let's start shutting it down then, because we're fairly close on time. I know Jake wants to do the weekly wins, so everyone gets to think about that.
You want me to kick it off?
Because I have no idea. Yeah, go.
All right, cool. So two super cool things happened yesterday. Number one, my sister texted me at like 10 in the morning. It was like, hey, I have an extra ticket to go see Sigur Rós tonight. Do you want to go? And I said, hell yes, I want to go. Performed with the Detroit Symphony Orchestra. It was like, I'm goosebumps right now just thinking about it last night. So that was super cool.
I had a question. Who are you talking about?
Sigur Rós. That's a band from Iceland. They like a kind of a, I don't know, post-rock kind of.
We're playing on the way out. Here, hold on a second. Sorry, I told you that. How do you spell it?
You lied. You lied to me.
G-U-R.
God, I don't get my Shania. Come on.
R-O-S. And Starolfur is the one that you...
How do you spell it again? Sorry, spell it again.
Slowly.
S-I-G-U-R.
S-I-G-U-R.
W-X-Y-Z.
R-O-S. Yes. All right. Yeah, there's all sorts of crazy stuff with that. And what am I playing?
Daralfur.
You couldn't be saying more difficult words right now.
Yo, they make up their own language for what they do. So like,
yeah, that's convenient.
I think Brandon might need a copy paste and chat on that one.
Yeah, I put it in the chat.
So there's. Oh, it started with an S.
What did he call it? Guitar. Then did he still call it a guitar? S T. Name for it.
So the guitar, he actually bows the guitar in a lot of his songs, which is a very interesting sound. Yeah,
very that's a 6 minute. I'm not playing the whole thing. Okay. Goodness sakes.
But then also, number two is I reached out to Black Hills yesterday. I was like, hey, people tell me that I should do a webcast with y'all about Locksmith. And they're like, no, you need to talk to Anti-Siphon. And so I went and talked to Anti-Siphon. And now I have a webcast scheduled with Anti-Siphon Training for December 11th to go talk about finding and fixing shit with Locksmith. So, yeah.
Sweet.
Feeling good right now. So.
Good for you, sir.
That's all I got. Brandon, you think you're ready, or should I go over to Dev?
Oh, mine's going to... I can't follow that.
All right, so I'll go. So... last year, a couple years ago, I bought a really fancy coffee maker, right? So if you know me, I love my coffee, and I like it a very particular way. And I do not drink K-Cups. They're crap. So I bought a nice machine. I said, hey, you know, pay up now. Don't have to deal with it later. Get a good machine. Just call it end day. Well, that machine died on me last week. So I went little more than a week ago. So I spent all last week learning about coffee makers. And this is one of the smart coffee makers. So it takes the beans, auto grinds it to whatever settings you want, auto packs it, auto pressurizes, and then creates the coffee and adds the milk and water to proper temperature and all that stuff for you, all automatically. I had to learn all about that just to take apart the whole damn machine, fix it because it was out of warranty and all this other stuff. And I didn't like their warranty. program, because that's a story for a different day. So I learned how to fix all that stuff, put it back together, and got it working. So that's my win. I saved almost $1,200 or $1,400.
Holy crap.
Not buying a new machine.
That is awesome. Yeah.
Love that. How about you now, Brandon? You ready?
I don't know. I look awesome right now because I got to go play. I got to go play some golf earlier today. So
how, it was how nice. Did you do? Did you do well?
No, I never do well.
80. You got an 80.
I didn't finish. I didn't finish the round because I got a message from Danny that said, "Hey, can you run the show?" And I was like, "Yeah, I can. Let me go home." So I don't know, maybe
at least in an. Are you at least within single digits par? Or are you higher?
Oh, I'm higher. Oh yeah. No, I'm not good. I'm like a 20 handicap, so yeah. But I'm
you're training and you have a handicap?
But I'm practicing. Yeah, I'm trying to get better.
Getting better. That's all that matters, right? You used to have a 30 and now you're down to
20. That's true. I probably
are you
did.
Aiming for the holes or are you just aiming for the sand or something?
I did have somebody once, and I think I told them I was like a 30, it was like a 28 handicap or a 30 handicap, and they were like, "No, you're wrong. Like nobody has a handicap like that. You've got to be shooting like 110." And I was like, "Yep." So
it takes you like 5 strokes to get down to where the green is. Got it.
It's like watching a child play, Dev. It's ridiculous.
I mean, it don't help to use it a pull stick.
I'd do better just throwing it sometimes. Yeah.
Tennis racket.
Over to Top Golf.
Yeah.
There you go.
We need to
so is that your win or that's your loss for the week? I'm confused.
Dive. I take it as both. I don't know. I'm just psyched. I'm psyched it's Friday. I'm ready for a day. It's been two long weeks.
You know what? Since these chuckleheads didn't acknowledge it, Brandon, you look very nice in that shirt. You cut a great figure in it.
Thank you. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. That's my win. Getting compliments on live stream.
Heck yeah. Beto, what you got? What you got? What's going on?
I got a new weather radio, and it's because the old one wasn't working. I don't know if you could see it, but yeah. Yeah, new weather radio. That's fun. So, yeah. Also, recently, one of my good friends gave me the Dark Millennium Falcon Lego set, and it came with a lot of minifigures, but Darth Jar Jar was one of the minifigs. It's for a Lego series, and it's Jar Jar Binks as, Sith, and I love it. It's great, and it was so much fun to put together, and that's probably the biggest win I'm going to have until... You know, next time I come on here, I have to think of something that sounds reasonable.
So if anyone knows my background, I do have a lot of Star Wars stuff. So what he's talking about is that they thought and they assumed that Jar Jar Binks was really the Sith Lord. And that everything he was doing in the movies was geared towards that. And if you look at the movie again, with that kind of lens, you can see it. Verbatim, like he is sabotaging, saying, "I don't know these people. I don't know what's going on." Like everything, and he's like, "What do you mean you don't know these people? You do know these people. You do know what's going on. You do like you purposely did what you did to break the machine." Like, yeah,
it's total really headcanon. I live it. I can't be convinced otherwise.
Yeah. Well, now I know what I'm doing this afternoon. Or...
Yeah, I'm gonna watch the thing about Temple
this afternoon,
and you're gonna, yeah.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to spend all afternoon finishing my round of golf.
I thought you said you're going to watch the Star Wars series. I'm like, do you remember how long each movie is?
He's only in like 2.
There's like, was it 10 movies now?
Something like that.
All right. That's it for the happy hour today, folks. Next week, like we said, I do not think we have a guest lined up, but we might. Maybe I'll reach out and we can grab somebody cool. Not that Beto's not cool. My bad.
Well, actually, especially you said after that compliment. Exactly like that.
Yeah, I realized it when I said it.
Your shirt sucks. I was just being nice.
Damn it. So talking more about privacy, I will be talking about, hopefully, successfully locking my child's credit reports, because that sucks. So I'm going to walk you all through that bad boy. And for now, we're going to play. I'm going to try to pronounce it for you. Don't say it for me. Starlofer by Sigur Rose. And I can't be convinced otherwise. I know. There's a lot of extra letters.
Perfect.
Thank you. I know. I feel perfect.
I hear like a buzzing. Is that how it's supposed to? Oh, yeah.